Hello, all you positive heads out there. It's so good to be back with all you beautiful reflections of the one source consciousness that creates and animates all things. If you're new to this podcast, of course, we are super happy to have you here, and we just ask that you bring an open mind and heart to your listening experience and to be prepared to explore vantage points that I'm convinced will help shift or solidify your current understanding of the ultimate nature of reality in a way that is extremely empowering. Speaking of exploring powerful perspectives, I'm super excited to announce the release of my very first book, The Golden Key: Modern Alchemy to Unlock Infinite Abundance. If you're ready to alchemize the circumstances in your life so that your abundance expands to an entirely new level in 2021, head over to goldenkey.gift to download the audio or ebook as my gift to you by using the code POSITIVEHEAD. Mic check, 1, 2, 1, 2. Hello, hello. How's that volume? I'm going to talk about like that loud.
How's that go? Am I right here? That feels good?
Yeah, you put a little, I'm usually louder than most humans.
Great.
So you can be closer.
Get a little closer. Yeah, my voice is nice and
soft and sexy.
Sexy voice, yeah.
I'm the
sexy
best voice in the room.
Yeah. Wonderful to meet you.
Hi, this is Nate. I'm Batman. Hi, I'm Batman. And Nate.
All right. Here we go. All right, all you positive heads. Welcome. Here we grow again. It is a magnificent Monday here in the studio, and I am excited to say I'm not alone. I have my friend Nate Stein, aka Aquanimous, here with me. He is a blissful bass music producer, founder of High Vibe Records. And yeah, just thought it would be a good idea to pull him in. He has lots of interesting insight and magic that he's cooking up in the world. What's up, Nate?
Hey, everybody. How's it going? Thanks for having me on the show. I appreciate it.
Yeah. We've been talking about doing this for a while. So yeah, Nate actually... You were here, you performed, what, maybe 4 months ago?
Yeah, I think it was in July.
Yeah.
Is that 4 months?
Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah, it feels right.
Yeah.
It was great. I love playing here. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, Mystic Manor, those of you listening a long time know, those of you who maybe this is your first episode, it's a co-living space in Venice Beach that I always say I'm the steward of the spaceship here. And
it is like a spaceship.
It is. Yeah, it is, right? Like it is. Yeah. It's definitely a vortex of transformation and all the things. And let's talk about your life and music.
Great.
And whatever comes up.
Yeah,
we don't really have a major agenda. This is kind of an impromptu
friend flow.
I like that. So why don't you tell the folks a little bit about who you are, what you do in the world, and then we'll just take it from there.
Great. I'm Aquanimous. I produce music, play music, DJ, touring artist, all that fun stuff. And I also run High Vibe Records, which is a conscious record label. I would say that definitely Aquanimous is, my main passion. It's what I'm doing. It's the forefront of my career and also, having a mission and purpose to spread, high vibes and conscious music and bliss and all that. High Vibe Records was kind of formed to be the vehicle for that. So that's pretty much what I'm up to, is just, really making celebratory conscious music. I like to say bringing consciousness to the party and the party to consciousness. It's kind of like the motto I live by there. And that's what I'm up to.
Yeah, I love that. That's one of the things with the events that we do is, try and keep it as high vibe as possible. And that includes a lot of times, like, not so many events and parties are focused around alcohol.
Oh, yeah. And it really is. I feel like alcohol is kind of the one thing that is, and no judgment, there's no judgment against, a little bit of alcohol or whatever.
We've all had it.
Right? It's not, everyone's, it's not kind of where I'm at these days. It's not what I feel like is bringing unity and conscious loving connection, and so because of that, I'm just focused on, a different type of celebration where it's less about numbing to feel safe and more about just like feeling safe, and then in a safe space, having fun that way.
Mm, I like that. I like the way you put that. Yeah, totally. No judgment whatsoever. And what we found, even here doing events, we've experimented with, okay, let's have no alcohol. Okay, let's let people bring it in if they want. And we kind of went back and forth with you know, our events here. And we had the times we've had alcohol or the times we've had some issues.
Right.
Or you know, just that sloppiness or someone, you know, guy parked in the neighbor's driveway. We go find him and he's really like drunk. Then he's like touching some girl inappropriately. That kind of thing like is very not, you know, very rare in our space. We're like, what? Who, you know, and that kind of, yeah, it kind of helped to really seal it for us to not have it at the events. And it's not like we're ever selling it or anything for a while. We just let people, okay, if you really want to, you can.
Right.
And and it's just like anything in life. I mean, can it be a positive thing for someone? Absolutely it can. It can lead to a really good experience. It's like moderation and is so key, I think. I've kind of landed where you are. It's just like the juice isn't worth the squeeze for me.
Yeah, it's also not like my body doesn't want it.
That's what I mean. I'll have it, and I'm just like, well, that buzz felt okay for 10 minutes, and now I'm wrecked for like 36 hours.
Yeah, it's just not.
Yeah.
I know. Although I will say, you know, like there have been times where if I intentionally will have like half a glass of wine or something, mm-hmm. or like one, like I don't even know, just for the sake of health.
Yeah, that's usually
thing,
what I'll do.
But
is wine.
I really don't drink ever.
Wine is my go-to when, you know, from time to time I'll have a couple glasses of wine or sometimes sake.
Sure. Mm-hmm. And again, no judgment.
Yeah.
As long as you're being safe. And
yeah,
whatever.
Of course. Anyways. Unless you're driving.
Right.
You know,
none of that. Then there's judgment.
If you're drinking a bottle of vodka and then, you know, playing bumper cars, we might judge you a little bit. so dude, Nate, you're such an inspiration. We haven't known each other, you know, too long, but you feel like such an old friend. And, we're looking at how we can weave and co-create with some of the projects. What you're up to in the world is very much in line with, sort of my path as I move forward. And so, I think this show, of course, is all about inspiring, helping people to shift their perspectives, to create more magic in their world. And I know with your music, you have really like taken it on sort of a fast track of expansion in a relatively short period of time. And so maybe you can talk a little bit about, just share a little bit about that journey and, you know, how you did that.
Yeah, I'm happy to. I started Equanimous when I was in 2016. And I had been in other, you know, projects before, different things. But Equanimous as my main thing started in 2016. Nothing really happened with it until probably 2018. I released some EPs on some smaller labels. And then I was touring, you know, I was like getting shows with small gigs and, you mm-hmm. know, like in the hundreds type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then there were a couple of bigger shows, some festivals I played also, mm-hmm. but nothing that's, no one really knew the name.
Yeah.
And then when COVID hit, I had just finished like, it was like a 75 or 80 show tour run over like a year, a little over a year. And that was my time of like, all right, you know, sleeping in the van, whatever. It's just like doing those kind of things. I mean, I didn't sleep in a van very often, but
right.
But like, you know what I mean?
Doing whatever you had
doing
to
what
do
I had to
make
do.
The
yeah,
show
exactly.
Happen.
And then when COVID hit, I did not know it would last as long as it did, but I said to myself, all right, as long as this thing is going, I'm just going to like work so hard every day, 16-hour days, whatever it takes to grow my online presence, so that when shows do come back, I'm in a better space. And I had started High Vibe Records in 2017, just loosely. You know, I had some interns and stuff. Didn't really do much with it, and I thought that might be a good way to grow Equanimous also. And mm-hmm. so in that, I ended up, you know, getting more artists, all these other things. Learning a lot. Definitely found a lot of success in collaborations. I collaborate with a lot of people. And I highly recommend that to any artist listening. And what happened is COVID didn't stop.
Yeah.
You know, at least, you know.
Still not stopping.
I mean, hopefully it will soon. But, and so I just kept working and I didn't stop. And I kept, you know, I hired some people. I just like, it kept going and going and going. And I kept making a lot of music. And over that time, you know, I would say it's one of these things where like, I just kept putting out songs. And in that, some didn't get as many plays and some people really loved. And through the ones that people really loved and that got a lot of play, it just grew, it, you know, and I would say that over that span, it put me from being an artist that, you know, was kind of like, you know, playing festivals for transportation money,
right,
you know, to like now, you know, being on the top of some of these festivals, you know, the bigger ones, I'm still listed in the middle, right. but
your listenership is really like skyrocketed.
That is true. Yeah. I think I went over the span of the whole COVID time. I think I went from like 10,000 monthly listeners to what are we at right now? It says 310,000. It looks like right now. And and so that just keeps growing. And that's really good. And my streams have gotten a lot. And now I'm at a place where Spotify is supporting me. A lot of people don't like Spotify because they're like, oh, they don't pay their artists enough and stuff, which it's true. They could pay artists more. And I acknowledge that. And what I think the majority of people don't realize is that Spotify actually helps artists get shows. Mm. Like that's why I think Spotify is so valuable is because it presents stats and Apple does not do that. You know, and so even though it doesn't pay as well as some of these other streaming services, I feel like it pays better because then you can ask more for shows and all these things. And so I'm very grateful for Spotify, honestly. But I don't know. Maybe it's just where I'm sitting.
I like the positive perspective on it. And so, that makes a lot of sense. And of course, shows being the primary revenue stream for artists, if it's helping to support that because they can see that you have a big following, they can see how many people are listening.
Right, exactly. And you can see where, you know, in what cities your top cities are. Like my fourth top American city is Dallas. I've never even been to Dallas.
Oh, wow.
And a promoter
maybe
knows
you
that.
Need to
and,
go.
Well,
yeah.
We're announcing today. Actually, it's funny. Today we're announcing a Dallas show.
Oh wow!
It's on 12/12 from 12 to 12.
Oh wow!
Isn't that fun?
Oh, all right.
December 12th.
You out there listening, P-head in Dallas? You know what you got to do.
Right.
You can tell Nate that you heard about it here, and when you see him on 12/12 in Dallas.
Right. Yeah. Thank you. So that's one reason why I like Spotify. And it is also, even though shows are obviously the main kind of source, I mean, I could at this point still like survive my basic needs on Spotify if I need to, which is a really gratifying experience. It's something I've wanted since I was a kid, honestly.
Yeah.
So to be here just feels, even just to be at like, you know, a level, not necessarily of thriving on Spotify, but of like having enough on Spotify, it feels good.
Yeah, I mean, dude, that is such an accomplishment as an artist to get to the point where it's like, oh, I can live off of my art, you know? And I know there's a lot of people out there listening who would
I love 2 years ago, I was one of those people, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it can happen to anyone, you know? And also, it's not, you know, I want to be clear, it's not that like, it's not that I could necessarily support a full family off of all this stuff, but for myself, I could. And that kind of sovereignty from an energetic level is very important to me.
Yeah. Well, or, you know, you could just have a family that you're really like, you guys have low caloric intake.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, just grow on food and all that stuff. Yeah. I mean, we could do it.
You could
like
it.
Most, I'm just, I like to live a little bit more of a comfortable lifestyle.
I hear you, Oh, man. So what... You know, and what I see from you and know from you and the time that we've known each other, I mean, I know this is just the beginning of your career and your energy is just so, I mean, it's reflected, of course, obviously you're a talented musician. It's you guys, well, actually we'll play something at the end. And I've played a few songs over the last year or so, I think. But, you know, I'd love for you to share a little bit about your perspective that helped you to get into this position where, you've gotten somewhere cool. You've come there in a short period of time in an industry that is notorious for making it. It's very challenging to live off of, let's say, and notoriously. And so what are some of the things that you've done and implemented to help you get into this position?
Well, one of the things is I learned. That's the first thing. I actually went to college to study this stuff. Mm. Shout out to the Bandier program, Syracuse University. I was the first year of the class of their class. I don't know if I said that right, but I don't know if I would have gotten in if it wasn't the first year, because my grades at the time, they weren't bad, but like now you need to, it's like it's the top music. It's the top of the top.
When did you go?
I graduated in 2011, so I'm in 2007. Yeah, they actually have like a whole LA sector out here too, or whatever. Cool. I learned. So the first thing is I learned, and I learned that I learned things there for sure. I learned more through talking with people who I networked with from that program, and you know, the music industry, of course, is always changing. Just learning about the value of different things, really like the biggest, I would say, asset that I came to realize is extremely important, which I'm sure many of you know, is playlists.
Mm-hmm.
And to be able to have playlists, run playlists, be on playlists. I mean, playlists is where a lot of passive listening comes from. So that's very important, you know, because that's how people are discovered. So I really kind of, for the past couple of years, have been focusing on growing playlists, growing fans that way. And that's been a big key for me.
Cool. Well, and of course, that's some very rubber meets the road sort of stuff. But what about you as, you know, as a person, your personal perspective, your outlook on life, your integrity, your, you know, understanding of the ultimate nature of reality and consciousness. Yeah. How does all that stuff play into
definitely.
Your dream?
Well, it's a long answer, but I will
How about four questions in one?
I'll say that, I will say that.
And we can go as long as we need to, by the way.
Okay, cool. I would say that, I started to prioritize consciousness because it felt better. I'm very driven by the emotional guidance system. I'm very driven by desire, and not hedonistic desire, but I'm very driven by like following what feels good. Mm-hmm. And when I say that, I'm not like, we had talked about alcohol earlier, if 10 minutes of alcohol feels good and then 36 hours after doesn't, that's not feeling
it's
good.
Not a good trade-off.
So, So of like, being aware of an overall experience and then following that good feeling and then just practicing and up-leveling the internal muscle of following what feels good, which some people call the emotional guidance system. That was and is key. And I think that through that compass, being able to expand in that way led me to just express myself how I'm being expressed. And so how that ties in with the music is I find these very fulfilling, blissful, it's like a combination of peace and satisfaction at the same time, these experiences through certain types of music and certain lyrics, and really lyrically too, especially lyrically, focusing on positive affirmations, getting lyrics stuck in people's brains that will help them.
Yeah.
Where, you know, where it's like a mantra almost, you know, because there's so many songs out there that are beautiful, and there are people venting and they're emotional and they're talking about their breakups and their healing and their trauma and their pain. And it's so beautiful. And when a human being is in that trauma and pain, of course it's great to listen to music like that because it makes you feel not alone. It understands how you can, it makes you kind of understand how you can cope and heal. It's healing, you know, it's very healing. And all that is wonderful and great. And I used to listen to all, I mean, I grew up on emo music, all this, you know, I was very much, all that lyrics are great and not what my role is, not what my mission is, not what lights me up. What lights me up is first aligning myself, putting my being in a state of joy and creating from that space rather than from a space of like, I need to vent and get out.
Yeah.
Because there is a lot of that already.
Yep.
I want to be an artist that people go to up level, not necessarily to heal through connection. I mean, of course to heal through connection, but not necessarily to heal through like feeling pain and letting it go and all that stuff, which is great and necessary in a lot of ways.
And you can take it too far with like, oh, of course. You know, it's like they ask,
most people take it too far.
they ask Mario Andretti, the greatest race car driver of all time, what's the number one thing you tell a new race car driver? Don't look at the wall. Right, well, why? Yeah. Because, you know, where attention goes, energy flows.
Right, so. Exactly. Yeah. So, and yeah, totally in alignment with that. And yeah, because of that, just putting out songs that take people who maybe either need healing or don't need healing and just want to celebrate and to uplevel their beings through affirmations and things like that. And so that's a big part of my music and learning about how like actual frequencies can enter the body. You know, I always, when I'm listening to a song and like playing something back, I do like a listening test. I do like a an energetic test, like how does it actually feel to my cells? Mm. And then I do a dance test of like, okay, where if I'm a dancer and I'm just flowing to this beat, like, am I flowing the whole time or is there like a weird break in there?
Jerky.
Right, like, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So those three things, and typically now I just kind of listen for all of them at the same time, but those three things are kind of like, it's like the feeling, mm-hmm. it's the actual auditory beauty, the sonic, mm-hmm. you know, and then the movement.
Yeah.
The dance. How is it going to make me move?
Yeah.
And so like, integrating all that in combination with, as you brought up, the kind of reality, like how is this, you know, in connection with your reality? Mm-hmm. I feel like that's how it's now being expressed.
Yeah. I love that. It's, you know, it's funny. It makes me think of years back being at, where was I? Like Symbiosis or, you know, one of the pretty big festivals. And my friend pointing out to me, he goes, as we were walking by the stage, he goes, notice, like, as great as this festival is, as great as the people are, notice how a lot of the music, you know, if you're really paying attention, there's dissonance, you know? And this is years and years back, and I don't remember who we were walking by at the time, but it was pretty aggressive, you know?
Sure.
And it's like, you of course, are, what I love about, you know, bass music, of course, is so great. And I love the fact that yours, and you describe yourself as performing blissful bass.
Yeah, I focus
music.
On the melodies. Yeah, I focus right. on the prettiness of it. But also I love bass. I mean, no, I love
totally.
The...
Totally. Yeah.
You know, like, they're just like... like
keep
I love,
going, keep
I love,
going. Yeah.
Positive.
New song, Imagine Live, improv, positive. I like the little positive head in there.
So like that, you know, that brought me a smile. That brought you a smile. Mm-hmm. Like I love that bassy, let's go, let's celebrate. Yeah. And like that in combination with the pretty is what I like to focus on.
Yeah, love that. Yeah, and it's like, you know, just focusing on, you know, what I hear with your whole description over the last, you know, 5 minutes is so much intention, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And that's so key to whatever it is, whatever your medium is, whatever your path to, you know, expressing yourself in life is, like, what is that underlying intention? And if you're bringing that super positive, high vibe intention to it, it's and following your excitement and,
right.
and it's going to lead you somewhere good.
I agree. And that's, I think like the key to it too is setting your intention and then to, as exactly like you just said, follow your excitement within that space to create so that the intention can be manifested, you know, so that it can breathe and just be alive. Because there's like one thing of setting an intention and like trying to do that intention.
Mm-hmm.
But the, in my opinion, the much more effective thing to do is you set your intention, let it go. Mm-hmm. And then you just create from your heart. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes setting the intention is like programming yourself to create in a way of that intention being achieved.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I like to sort of tie in the expectation piece of it too, because where I think a lot of people slip up is, okay, I have this intention and then my expectation, this is what I want to create from it.
Yeah, exactly,
and then you'll have people go to kind of to an extreme and say, okay, expectation is the enemy. It's like, I don't believe it's the enemy.
No,
expectation is good with a healthy sense of detachment.
Right, right.
Knowing that if I come at it with the proper intention, then, you know, I'm going to, it may not show up in the way I expected it to, but it's going to lead to something in some way, shape, or form is a reflection of that root core intention.
Totally. Yeah. I fully agree. It almost feels like expectation is irrelevant.
Yeah. Right.
Right. It's like, I mean, in some cases it's not. Like, if it's going to rain and you bring an umbrella, you expect it to rain.
Right.
But that's like the whole fear bear woods thing. You know that?
Right. Totally. It's, you know, and one of the other things, too, that I just spoke about on the last, you can even see it here in my little notes, at the heart of your, my last episode, at the heart of your being is a hardest. Everyone is some way, you know, as one with the source consciousness.
I love that, by the way. That's very good.
Isn't it good?
Yeah, that's very good.
You know, as extensions of the source consciousness that created and animated all things, you know, what are we? We're creators, you know?
Right.
Everyone has that creative streak in them. So,
are you into the Kabbalah at all? Or do you know much about
that?
Yeah,
I mean, I know the, you know, high level, you know, kind of basic stuff.
Well, the basic one basic principle of it, right, is that there's the creator and the creator, and the creator creates the creature's journey, and the creature's journey is to evolve into the creator.
Right. So being creative, and you know, you, I always kind of recoil when I hear people say, oh yeah, I could never do that, I'm not creative, I'm not artistic, I'm not. And as someone who's now really, you know, come such a long way in that process and really made a success, you know, you're a success, you're living your dream and able to support yourself doing it. What do you say to the person who's telling that story of, I'm not creative, I'm not, I'd love to do it, but they don't just have that core belief in themselves? What would your message to them be?
Yeah, that's a great question, because there are definitely a lot of those people that I've encountered. I find that, you know, So a couple things. One way about it that you can go about it is connect with someone who's also experienced that you like kind of see yourself in, and witness them get out of it. Reason being is then you feel the vibration of overcoming that. And if you feel the vibration of overcoming that, then you know how to overcome it, because you know the vibration.
So
that's like one kind of way, if you happen to know. So right, okay, if you're doing this all internal and you're like, you know, how to, like, you're literally just listening to us talk about it, and like you're in your room on your own or whatever, and hi to those people right now, and you want to do this right now or whatever, I think I would recommend expressing yourself with absolutely no limitations, and being that vibration yourself. So if you're in your room or whatever it is, and even if you're like, you know, and you're an artist, let's say you're a singer, okay? And you're a singer and you're like afraid to sing on stage, because that's the classic story, right?
Classic.
Is, right. So I would make yourself feel uncomfortable with your own singing almost, you know? Be in your room, sound as crazy as possible, just express, you know, just whatever. And then start to like train yourself to turn the uncomfortable parts into comfortable parts. Because that's all it is. There are parts of, you know, if you are speaking to you, this person, there are parts of you clearly that are uncomfortable with this kind of art and expressing your hardest, because whatever reason, someone told you as a kid, it wasn't, you know, you're getting all the stories, whatever. And of course, there's ways to heal that and stuff. I'm not a trained, you know, I'm just an artist here. And I think that if you're able to just piece by piece start to transmute uncomfortability into comfortability, it'll be way easier. And the way to do that is by being uncomfortable. Yeah. Because if you're uncomfortable and you're witnessing yourself be uncomfortable safely, right? You don't want to like go and make a fool of yourself necessarily.
Yeah.
You do it in a safe space. But once you kind of witness yourself going through those uncomfortable feelings, they're going to naturally become comfortable. It's like anything else, riding a bike. You know what I mean? Like, you know, I remember when I first learned how to ride a bike. I didn't even know how to ride a bike as a kid. I was like one of those later bike riders or whatever. And I remember it was like uncomfortable. It's like, this doesn't feel right. Now I can ride a bike. You kidding me? You know,
you just bike it.
Yeah. And that's the same. It's the same philosophy.
Yeah. It's exactly. That's a great comparison analogy there. It's like, I always say, if it scares you and excites you, it's probably for you.
Yeah.
And it's really comes down to training your nervous system.
Right.
Right. So it's like you get up on stage to do that, give a speech in front of, you know, let's take a president at the first speech he ever gave as president. There's a certain like, oh my gosh, to it, I'm sure. The last one he's giving after 8 years is like, I've done that a million times. Yeah, like, yeah. Your nervous system is trained for what it is.
And you can't expect to, unless you're a baby that's born into like, and there are people like this who are just like, I might be one of them, but like, you know, people who just like love to express from an early age. Yeah. Unless you're like that, most likely there will be some level of uncomfortability. Even for me, I haven't felt it in a while, but I would assume that, for example, I bet if I played Coachella in the next year or something, I'd be like, okay, this is like, I'm a little nervous.
Yeah.
And now if I'm playing a show, that like I can play in front of 1,000 people easily. And, you know, but it's funny. It's like, I was even thinking to myself, was there ever a time where I was scared? I actually remember one show when I played Northern Nights. I was a little bit nervous. Mm. Also, I'm a terrible example because I've been like, just expressing myself freely, and my parents were very encouraged, and they're encouraging to me to just like express myself. So I'm not the best example for this, but I think those listening understand the point.
Yeah. So I'm curious what you think about one of the things we haven't talked too much about is like, you know, obviously running a record label, you got a lot of artists on your label in a pretty short time, like.
I had the artists anyways, just from the network.
Right.
So it wasn't hard. It's not like a lot of them were new. I mean, some of them are new and I didn't know.
Yeah.
Actually, a good amount are. But like the kind of initial foundation, I already.
But I mean, when did your label start?
Technically 2017. But this, we weren't incorporated until 2020. So like really over COVID is when we like hired people. Yep, like before it was just like occasional social media posts pretty much nothing.
Gotcha. So what do you think is coming with art, music, the metaverse? I mean, I know there's concerts starting to happen there. Like, I mean, what is your thoughts on all
that? Yeah, I have a lot of thoughts on this. I actually when COVID first hit, I threw an online music festival called Global Unity Fest.
And I
got like all these artists, Beats Antique, Desert Dwellers, Random Rap. I mean, Piranha, 180 artists.
We
were able to pay 180 artists.
Wow.
From an online music festival.
Wow.
And this was in April of 2020. And it was in our space, at least, I feel like, you know, kind of a thing. We had thousands and thousands of people tune in. This was before the online festivals were there. Okay. That experience was great. It was super fun. It made me feel connected to people. People connected with other people. I know that, like, I could see in the Zoom rooms, people were, like, dancing with other people. And I found out some of them met later on in life, as if you're really meeting someone in a connection and stuff.
Yeah.
It was really cool.
Wow.
And I think there's definitely a place for that. And not even close to real events at all. Right. I mean, I am like, and so here's how I feel about it. I think they're great. I think some humans, you know, need that. It's just not a space I want to be in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I did it. It's cool, but it just doesn't even closely compare to like, you know, even our connection, just meeting at some of the events, you know, like the depth of our connection wouldn't happen online.
Yep, you know?
And so, so the whole metaverse thing, all that stuff, it's cool. And it's like, it's for some people, but I don't, you know, it's like, I don't play video games, but video games are awesome. And I know that they're healthy for the brain in certain ways. Of course, they're also unhealthy if you're staring into a blue light screen for hours and hours. But, so again, I think it's great and I have a lot of thoughts on it. And it's just not something that I would necessarily be involved in unless someone was like, honestly, like pay me a bunch of money, just go and play an online show or something, you know?
Right. Yeah, no, that makes sense. I think it's, they'll probably get cooler and more.
Yeah, what do you think?
I think it will get more fun as VR and some like of these things become more, you know,
wear the
suits
and stuff.
Yeah, I think we're a ways away from that. And will it ever replace, you know, in person?
It's never going to replace it.
No, it can't.
It can't. There's no way. I mean,
there's like millions of people going to some events.
I know. Well, and Facebook just announced Meta, which, by the way, was trademarked by someone else. Hilarious.
Yeah. It's actually a friend of my very good friend.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Cool. They just cashed in big time.
Big time. Yeah. My friend since I was 14, who like lifelong friend is. He's been talking about working with him for years.
Oh, amazing. Where'd you grow up again?
Virginia.
Virginia, right? Yeah, that's right.
So. Yeah, it's pretty wild. So, yeah, I was just curious what your thoughts are on that. We haven't really spoke too much about it. So what, you know, Well, I have a couple more questions.
Yeah, sure, please.
That I want to throw out. One is High Vibe, that's your, you know, understanding. Obviously, you have a very strong understanding. High Vibe Records, you understand vibration. It's all vibration.
Everything's
right?
a vibration.
Everything's a vibration.
And literally, I have a track that I haven't released yet, and I don't know how I'm, it's like not fully on genre for me because it's kind of like cheesy and poppy. It's uh-huh. like something that I would release like if I was really big someday and I want it, you know, uh-huh. but the lyrics are, you are a vibration, part of a nation, but you are, you're a vibration living in a nation. I'm forgetting my own lyrics.
It's new.
I thought of it like 4 or 5 years ago, but yeah. it's like, we are a vibration living in a nation, part of this planet in space. Mm. We are in space. And just like that, it's like everything, like in those five lines, I feel like it encapsulates so much. Your vibration, living with other vibrations on a planet. The planet is in space.
Yeah.
It's like, that's it.
Yeah.
It's like, we're just vibing in space. We're literally in space right now and we're vibing. And it's something people don't think about a lot, but it's just like very, very obvious, fundamental, like core reality things. Assuming all of it's true and that we're not, you know, there's like not including simulation theory and all these other things, but essentially, I don't even know how I got to that.
Even simulation theory, I mean, it still doesn't, I don't think that precludes that we could, you know, it's all vibration.
No, but that would imply, a lot of that would imply that like, that you're right, I guess you're right. But then you start to get into like, well, is space real? And like all these, mm-hmm. you know, and that's right. a whole.
Yeah. That's a wormhole. That's definitely a rabbit hole. Well, in you know, I know obviously music, I think that's why it's so important when we talk about dissonance and, you know, melody and positive lyrics. And I know some people are like, oh, I don't care about the lyrics. For me, I think because I'm so into words as, you
of
know,
course.
Mechanism, I'm listening to words so closely and they affect me so much. And so, you know, I know you also do, I've seen you post, sharing food and
food.
The vibration
food.
Of food.
Yeah, and like, oh, food's huge.
Yeah.
Food so. And it's just really about organic, right? The organic lifestyle is very, very important to me. People say everything in moderation. I do not agree with that. I'm just going to be very honest. I don't agree with that statement. Mm-hmm. I would say agreeing with that statement in moderation, you know?
Right.
and I could give a billion examples. I mean, some people like to say, you know, the whole like, oh, if there's like a bullet shot in your arm, you want that in moderation?
Yeah.
No. But for me, it's like, no, like, you know, I don't eat dairy because I don't like how it makes me feel.
Yeah.
And people are like, oh, just know in moderation. I'm like, no, if I have dairy, it's going to push me back for days. You know, no. You know? And food is very important to me. The whole organic thing is very important to me, you know, and that goes from not just food, but clothing, sheets, pillowcases. I always travel with organic pillowcases.
Wow.
Because I don't want pesticides going into my face, skin, pores.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't make sense. Right. Why would you wear clothing that's not organic? Why would you put clothes on that like is going to potentially harm you? Now I get it. Clothes, expression, fashion, is it really going to harm you that much? I don't know. You know, like,
yeah, right. Like, that's the question. Right. Is like, is this like,
no, there's like,
because the challenge is finding, you know, obviously you limit your selection.
Great. You limit, oh, of course. Yeah, yeah. And of course there's times where, oh, Halloween, you put on this, it's fun. You know, it's not like I'm perfect all the time. With food, I'm pretty much 100% organic all the time with everything. And same with bedding, like just my pillow. Because you can always wear clothes.
And you're
underneath.
Vegan too?
I eat meat.
Okay.
I eat meat as long as it's organic. I just don't eat dairy. That's just what my body responds to. You know, morally, it's a whole thing. For me, you know, a lot of my morals go towards for this whole organic, it's really for the organic movement because I believe that pesticides and, you know, glyphosate, all these things is what's affecting climate change the most.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, my belief. So I focus, if I was going to focus on something, it's more that I eat meat, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
People out there who are vegan, judge me. I don't know.
Yeah, right.
But I will say that I like totally understand the not eating meat thing.
Yeah.
It's just, I eat meat.
Yep.
Oops.
Yeah.
Do you eat meat?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I do. I mean, I've had my, I've had moments where I didn't, you know.
Oh yeah. And I don't eat meat every day by any means. I'm not, you know, most of my meals are completely vegan.
Yeah.
And though like, you know, when I eat meat, I pray with the animal and I, you know, it is what it is.
Right. Right. Cool. Yeah. I think that's an important point. And yeah, for that intention and saying a prayer, it's like, you know, and of course people will debate this topic and it's not really one I want to go deep down the rabbit hole of, you know, today, but we have done it in the past on the show. But, I definitely, you know, I like the idea of being vegan more than every day of my life, you know?
Like, I think if we were our most highest evolved selves, maybe we wouldn't do it. But I can speak for me at least that I'm still evolving and up-leveling as most humans are.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know. Maybe in 10 years I'll be like so against it.
Yeah.
And I'll be like shaming my past self for it. I don't know. Yeah. But right now,
I think that's the important point, is not shaming yourself where you're at, and just you can have aims to improve and continue to get better. And some people, like, you know, they've really, this is like a huge priority to them. And I get it. I understand it.
Although I will say shame is something that I find can be very healthy if it's followed by extreme compassion. So for example, so if someone does something bad, right? Mm-hmm. How do they learn? You shame them and then you say, but it's totally okay and I love you and everything's going to be okay. And it's good for you to feel this negativity right now so you know not to do it again. Mm-hmm. So your system knows. As opposed to just being like, oh no, it's okay. Everything's fine. Everything's fine. Now, if everything really is fine and it's okay and you made a mistake, if you made a mistake, you don't shame someone for a mistake. Mm-hmm. But if someone does something that is not the right thing when they meant to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it's a purposeful thing that someone meant to do and it's not the right thing, I think shame followed by compassion is healthy. My mother would disagree with that. We've had this talk before, but it's how I feel as long as it's not hateful and it's a loving shame. Mm-hmm. As long as it's loving.
Yeah.
That's my opinion. I know it's not popular.
Yeah. Interesting. No, I mean, I think it's like, well, and it comes down to like, okay, well, how do we define shame? Because
is it shame then, or is it just like
really shame, or is because is shame only when it's super like kind of this negative undertone to it? I don't know. I'd like to actually go Google it now.
Let's say a father has a kid, right? And the kid. Two examples. One, the kid punches a wall and hurts his hand.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to shame that because he's getting the negative feeling from his hand.
Right, you know what I mean?
Let's say example two, kid takes the father's car and drives it down the street and is totally fine and safe and okay. Father comes in, okay? The kid doesn't feel any pain from that because nothing happened.
Yep.
Thank God. The father comes in. Oh my God. First thing. Oh my God. Thank God you're okay. I'm so happy. Oh my God. Showing love. I really care about you. All this thing. Second, never do that again. Mm. Do not do that. You should not have done that. That is not a good thing to do. You could have gotten yourself hurt. This could have happened. It's a bad, bad, bad vibe. Never do this. Do you understand that you should not do this?
Mm-hmm.
And like, I'm so happy you're okay. And please just like never do this again. Like, this is why this is bad. Is that shame? I mean, I think it is shame with compassion, and I think that's okay. But it might not be shame, as you're saying. You know, I don't know.
Yeah, someone out there is Googling it right now.
Right. Let us know.
Yeah, let us know. You tell us.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, this has been awesome, dude. So cool to have you on, and we'll have to do this again because I know you'll be
around. Yeah, I feel like we could talk and riff for a while. It feels weird kind of ending on shame, but I'll just say that I was already there.
I was going to ask you to, you know.
Because I'm still down to talk whatever you need. But
Share whatever you feel is the most helpful, pertinent perspective that you have implemented in your life to get you to where you're at and take you to where you're going.
Definitely. Awareness. So this perspective, here's this. I'm going to give two. Can I give two?
Give as many as you want.
I'm going to give two. So the first is, it's like a two-step thing, right? The first is having the awareness be in the body and in different places and not just the mind. And I say this because, you know, as a lot of us do, especially in America, and especially with all this food affecting our brains where it's all these chemicals and all this stuff, I feel like there's a lot of thinking that takes place just in general. There's a lot of thinking that takes place when the thinking doesn't need to be aware of itself.
Mm-hmm.
And I grew up thinking, overthinking, all those things, OCD, all that stuff, through practices, you know, foods, different medicines, different, teachers almost, like, you know, sharing things. I and especially the Vipassana was kind of like the final cherry on top. I was able to, and it's not.
You want to tell them what a Vipassana?
Yeah, Vipassana is a 10-day silent meditation. That's actually where I learned the word equanimous. But essentially, it's where you just are with your own body for 10 days. Mm-hmm. And you're breathing and just feeling your body. And in that, I had known these things before, and I was practicing these things before, but I didn't have the words to it until the Vipassana. I really did learn that, like, you know, we all have our awareness, right? We have where. You know, sometimes we're aware of ourselves. We're the witness. We play, you know, Eckhart Tolle, all that stuff. You know, we are. You've read The Power of Now,
yep.
Right? So, yep. Right. So there's awareness, right? Our awareness lives somewhere in our bodies. For example, if you get hit in the elbow, your awareness goes to your elbow because you feel your elbow.
Yep.
You know, if I said to the people listening right now, feel your toes with your inner awareness, and now move that up to your knees. You can feel the inside of your body, that internal awareness, where you're at.
Yeah.
Most of the time, people's awareness are either, what I've noticed is people's awareness are either in their minds, they're in their brain, or they're outside. They're on something else. They're watching TV. They're talking to a person. They're looking at something. It's usually one of those two.
Yeah.
There is a lot of other places one's awareness can be. In fact, the heart, the gut, you know, the... one's energy field, one's collective energy field, how they're dancing with someone else, you know? And I think that a lot of people find, especially because in my opinion of the foods they eat, but a lot of people find that it's trickier to leave the mind and for one's awareness to not be in the mind. Through the Vipassana, I was able to practice being in my body and what that is like. And now my home, instead of my mind, my home is definitely my body, without a doubt. In fact, when I speak, usually I don't even like think the words anymore. It just, you know, and I later learned like, it was like, what am I doing? Because at first I was like, do I just not think anymore? And then what I learned is I actually just think through feeling and that the mind is connected to the body. And so, and that's how I speak is I feel feelings inside of my body. And then I speak just like right now and I'm speaking these words rather than think before you speak. I feel before I speak in that way. And oftentimes, yeah, I think when I need to. And of course, if I'm doing like a logical math problem, my brain is speaking words. Or sometimes if I've had some food that maybe isn't, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
So that's step one, right? Step one is to have the tool and the muscle of being able to be in your body and being able to go in different places with your awareness and to have that type of control or to the best of your ability, which of course takes practice. And I've practiced it a lot over my life. What was the question? The original question again? That was the preface.
Yeah, yeah. What is the sort of the main offering that comes to mind for you to share with people to, help?
Like live my life.
Live my life.
So that's right. So that's my answer like that. Okay. So that's the first thing. Because without that, you know, it's not purely, truly conscious. It almost reminds me of like, being in like a, you know, if you're like at a cool party with cool people and you're like trying to act your best and you're like connecting with people and making jokes. And in the back of your mind, there's this like awareness of separation of like, I am at a cool party talking to people rather than just like being it and living it, your essence. So the first thing to eliminate that is being in your body, all those things, being authentic, having that. Okay. And if other things come, it's fine to accept them with love, all that stuff. I wouldn't shame that part of the things. Number two, and also just, I'm not, shame only in very small doses, like only as a very, very, specific healing tool when needed, not something I would recommend
like
number one.
Like if you're walking down the street and you see someone, just kind of like shame them and
keep going. Yeah, exactly.
Like we're at least 10 people a day.
Yeah, at least, I was thinking more 100, but yeah, sure. So obviously not like that, but So anyways,
I think what you said in that context, like it makes sense. It's like, hey, like, let's look at this. It's not, not like shame in a really like in a negative context.
No, you're
it's
not giving anyone, you're not giving anyone strong negativity in that way. It's just, I think we are. Thank you for clarifying that. Okay. So once you have that, you know, awareness and type of thing, I would say then to listen, set your intentions and listen to what your heart is telling you, okay, on this type of level. And not just your heart, but your gut and your mind and all of it. You know, incorporate the whole body-mind system to make these decisions and make decisions from this place. And most likely, if you're just getting into this, you've probably are attached to certain life things that might be harder to, or might be in your way of, you know, for example, like, let's say you're, you know, let's say you just work a 9-to-5 and you're, you have a job or whatever, you know, and you are, you know, you're grateful for it, but you're not like super happy or whatever, you know, you're just, you're not, you know what I mean? The classic story of like, you know, the coach being like, oh, do you work a 9-to-5? Okay, let's imagine you're one of those, right? And you finally, you've gotten into this awareness and you're like very in tune now with your desires. And there's a strong desire for you to go and, you know, do ceramics and like sculpt. And great, mm-hmm. you follow that and you do it and you can totally do that simultaneously with your job. It feels right. It's 100% yes for you. You go and do it. You didn't know you even wanted to do it. Mm-hmm. But now because you have this new awareness, you do it and it adds to your joy, which then helps your relationships, which then helps this and this and this and this and this. And of course, you're not eating, you know, you're only eating organic now because you want to live a high vibe lifestyle, all that stuff, okay? Great, that works. Then, though, of course, our desires change. Maybe you get fulfilled with making that and you become this like really awesome sculptor. And you're like, oh man, I need to make, like, you're feeling really called. You know, I know you especially listen to spirit all the time. I know you interpret it like that. And you follow that and you have a connection with that and you're great at following that, you know? And for some people, they can be great at following something, and though there might be something that limits that, like they're like, oh no, but I have this like 9-to-5 job. How can I spend 6 months making a sculpture for Burning Man that I just got contracted to do, you know?
Right.
And that's where things can get tricky. And the thing is, as you are moving and living more, I'll just say like, quote unquote, high vibe or whatever it is you want to call that, things will probably come up that you'll then have to move past. And that's when the tricky part is. And in those moments, that's where the major growth occurs. So of course, I'm not telling you to in anyone to leave their job or anything like this. But what I'm saying is to practice that muscle of listening. And then just like to kind of bring it around, just like you had brought up with the president's speech, it's like the first one, you're like, all right. And the next one, you're like, oh, I've done this 8,000 times. Maybe not 8,000, that's a lot. I don't know how that came up. But it's the same thing with this. It's like, oh man, this is a first hard, gritty thing, right? You do it once and you like, you talk to your boss or whatever it is and then things get easier, you know, as you get about making the uncomfortable comfortable. And so I guess to kind of sum up that like advice, what I do besides of course eating all organic is I would listen to yourself, be aware of yourself, and then move from the place of your emotional guidance system with, you know, tools that will allow you to put yourself in vibrations that cause you to be living in a way that you desire.
Yeah. Love that. Well, you're doing it and I appreciate you being such a great example, man.
Thanks, brother. You're doing it too. And I appreciate you being a great example.
Beautiful reflections. And all of you out there, you're doing it too, or you wouldn't be tuning into this broadcast.
Exactly.
And, you know, water seeks its own level. So we're all just like floating along in eternity, vibing out, vibing out.
Yeah.
And we should play one of your tracks here today. You guys want to hear some Equanimous? Yeah, you do. What song, what do you think would be the most appropriate?
Well, I think for today, track Let Me Be Medicine that I did with Ruby Chase and Infinity.
I love Ruby. She's great.
Yeah. It's just for our conversation. It feels right. Positive affirmation, kind of like Let Me Be Medicine. Ruby does a great job of like really tuning in with that. It's also a great, you know, example of collaboration. Infinity kind of made the original elements of the beat and then I kind of like added my thing to it, got Ruby in the studio. We kind of restructured it. And then Ruby and I wrote this track, which Ruby sings, that's just about being the medicine, which is actually bold. When we first did it, we were like, do we really want to be medicine? Mm-hmm. That's a pretty big thing to be. And then, you know, of course it's, you know, it's like comedy. It's like you tell a joke, you're not necessarily manifesting it, you know?
Yeah.
And at the same time though, it's good to be the medicine. And yeah, so this I feel like is a good example too of my sound. It's blissful, it's pretty, but it also has that kind of bassy undertone. It's almost a little trappy. Anyways,
cool.
Yeah, I hope y'all enjoy
it. Beautiful. Well, what is the best way for people to contact you, of course, follow your music.
Yeah,
Spotify,
for sure.
You know, give them all the things.
Yeah, you can just look me up on Spotify. It's Equanimous, Equanimous. And then, you know, I'm on Instagram, YouTube, all the things, at Equanimous Love. It's just my name, Equanimous Love. And yeah, feel free to reach out, all the things.
Yeah, and since we ended up going a little longer on this one, I think I'm going to just release it as a soul share kind of interview style, because I ended up asking you lots of questions.
Cool.
So one of the things that I always ask as my last question is this, my cliche closer.
Cliche closer. Yeah, let's hear it. That's
great. In 60 seconds or less, what is the meaning of life according to Nate Stein, a.k.a. Equanimous?
Meaning of life, of course, everyone will say it's whatever you make it, but I'm going to say that the meaning of life, and then there, you'll have the other people that'll say there is no meaning, the whole landmark SELP thing. So it's a, and then you'll have people say, I don't know how to answer that question, like I'm going to, but I'm going to be the person that says, you have people that do this and this and this. I guess the meaning of life, all I can answer that is the meaning of life, just to, meaning of life is to be filled with unbounded delight.
Ooh, I like that. You know, you giving all the kind of things people would say, it made me think one of my first guests, like 2015, was a fellow producer, Calia Scintilla.
Oh, yeah, sure.
I'm sure you know.
Yeah. He makes all of his stuff in 432.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he doesn't allow any, and he doesn't, he only, all of his label, he has his own label.
Yeah.
And all of, he might have Merkaba. Heard share this. Yeah. And you can only release on the label if it's also in 432.
Which I have 32 hertz.
Yeah, which I have my own thoughts about, because it was based off of a frequency that was measured once and all these things. And it, like, it is cool, but it also has its pros and cons. Anyways, that's a whole, that I could speak for hours on that.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, sorry, well, you guys can Google that if you want to know what for making the music in 432 hertz. And is that more?
I just made my first song in 432. It's coming out on 11/11. It's not something I'm going to do very often.
Got it.
Yeah. Anyways, but
it's a lot more work that goes into it.
No. Okay. It's just, it's harder. It makes me think, but that's not why. There's, I mean, it's based off of, we could get into it, but I don't know. It's a lot.
We'll save that for the next time. Yeah, that might get a little nerdy for some of the people. But cool, man. Well, this has been amazing. Thank you so much for coming on, and I hope you guys enjoy.
What was the Kali thing? Sorry,
I didn't even say it. Oh, thank you. That would have sucked. Yeah, okay. So it made me think back, and this is like episode like 1500 and something now. Yeah. This is like episode, I don't know, 7 or 10 or this is like years ago. And I always remember, because my girlfriend at the time, her pet name for me was Squish. And that was like my embarrassing nickname that she would call me, you know. And I'm like, what is the meaning of life? I started it way back then. And he's like, squishiness. Nice. And his music's got a lot of squishiness in it too.
That's very good.
So that was always the most original answer still, I think. It's like, oh, okay, cool. Yeah, squishiness it is.
Yeah.
I'll go with that. Well, awesome, dude. Thank you so much. I just look forward to continuing to co-create and weave. This has been amazing.
Totally agree,
you are such an amazing reflection. Thanks all of you that out there listening, thank you for tuning your beautiful brainwaves and incredible hearts. Hope you enjoy this medicine. This is Equanimous. Let me be the medicine.
Much love.
Also, before we cue up today's song, as a quick reminder, don't forget to download the Golden Key audio or ebook as my free gift to you at goldenkey.gift using the Golden Key code POSITIVEHEAD. And please, if you enjoy my gift, leave a positive review on Amazon so others can unlock their lives with the help of the Golden Key as well.